president of the Michigan Education Association. Hello, this is Paula Herbart, and I'm proud to serve as the president of the Michigan Education Association. Tonight, we're hosting this live telephone town hall so that MEA members can hear directly from the declared and prospective candidates for governor about their positions on education issues. Next fall's election is a pivotal one for public education in our state. MEA is committed to helping elevate the voices of school employees about what is needed to ensure a quality education for every student. And we're also committed to ensuring members hear from the candidates about what they'll do to help achieve that goal for our state, especially before MEA makes any decisions about candidates to support in next year's election. For tonight's town hall, we invited all the declared and potential candidates for governor from the two major parties to participate. Six candidates took us up on tonight's invitation, including five Democrats: Gretchen Whitmer, Abdul El Sayed, Sri Tanadar, Andy Levin, and Kentel White, and one Republican, Evan Space. They will speak in that order, which is the order in which they responded to our invitation. We did not hear back from the other candidates in response to the invitation. The entire field of candidates has also been invited to speak at MEA's Fall Representative Assembly in Lansing on Saturday, October 14th. Each candidate will be on the call for 10 minutes answering the same three questions, two of which were selected by a survey of MEA members over the past week. Each candidate has a chance to speak. We will ask a quick poll question afterwards live so that those of you listening can provide feedback, and there will be an opportunity to leave a voicemail at the end of the call with any questions or comments you may have. We hope you learn more about the candidates' positions on public education over the course of the next hour, and we hope you share this information with your colleagues. A recording of this conversation will be made available online next week for those who couldn't attend this evening. It's time for our first candidate. Gretchen Whitmer is a former Senate Democratic leader and Ingham County prosecutor. She has taught both at the University of Michigan and Michigan State University. Senator Whitmer, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, please tell us a little bit about yourself and why you think you're the right candidate for Michigan Public Schools and students.
Sure. Well, listen, I want to start by telling you that I thank you for letting me participate in this, and I thank you for the work that you do every day. As a parent of two daughters who are in high school in the East Lansing Public Schools, I know that there aren't many people as important as the teachers and the support staff that are serving in that district every single day. They are the most important people in my life, and I want to thank you all for your dedication to public education. I love the state of Michigan, and I am furious about what the Republicans and the DeVos family has done to our state and to our public education system. For 14 years in the legislature, I was proud to be the number one advocate on behalf of teachers and on behalf of support staff in our schools and on behalf of funding for education. And I'll tell you, I was indoctrinated as a young child. My mother was she taught in the Lansing Public Schools. My grandma taught in Waterford Public Schools, and my grandfather was the superintendent of Pontiac Public Schools. And they raised me to know that the backbone of our society, the backbone of opportunity, of our economy, of our future, is the education of our people, the education of our children. We get one shot to educate a child, and we are failing the kids of Michigan. And when I say we, I do not mean the teachers and support staff in our schools. I mean our state leaders who don't have any experience and yet criticize and undermine and hamstring teachers and support staff in our public schools. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of legislators thinking that they are the experts. It's our time. 2018 is our time to start setting the agenda, to reset the priorities in this state, and to make our education system strong again. I'm proud of the record that I earned of taking on tough fights, and I'm ready to drive a real education agenda with you. As governor, I can guarantee you will be at the table. The legislature will not be able to ignore you because they will be forced to work with you. And I can guarantee this because I will demand that any bill that impacts public education, whether it's a budget bill or a policy bill, gets your thumbs up. And I'm going to do this by creating a public education impact commission, and I'm going to require a public impact study done on every single bill. And the people that are going to serve on this committee will be appointees that I select from our support staff, our teachers and administrators. I'm talking about putting educators in charge of determining what education policy gets a governor's signature or a veto. I'm going to empower you so that they will ask you. Because I know a strong governor with knowledge of how to use that executive office can single-handedly empower our educators across the state, and I think that's needed now more than ever.
Thanks for that information. Moving on, in Michigan and across the country, we are experiencing a shortage of qualified educators to work with students. What do you believe is driving that, and what do we need to do to fix that?
Well, you know, I unfortunately think there are a lot of things that are contributing to that. As I'm getting around the state, I'm engaging with people, and the number one issue I think that is critical for me to focus on is education. And I spend a lot of time talking about universal early childhood education, about funding our schools and our teachers and paying teachers better. But also I talk about the teacher crisis that is looming. We got to start treating teachers and support staff as professionals, because here's what I know. Nobody goes into teaching or into education because they think it's lucrative. They go into it because it's a passion, it's a calling, and it used to be treated as a profession. My 13-year-old not long ago told me that she wants to become a teacher. And I'll tell you, my heart was full of pride, but my brain was concerned because I know that the sustained attacks from the Michigan legislature and the DeVos family and the governor's office have hurt pay, have attacks on benefits, attacks on funding, the creation and proliferation of for-profit charter schools, and the demonization of people that go into education have demoralized the ranks of education professionals across the state. And I've talked to a lot of teachers and asked them, would you consider, you know, encouraging your child to go into education? And very few people say yes because it's become such a tough job and so disrespected. And I also know, you know, in talking to, there's a conversation that stands out in my mind with a young teacher that I spoke to in the Alpena school. She has one child and is paid so little she qualifies for a bridge card. That's unconscionable. So I think what we need to do is hire a governor who's not beholden to the DeVos family, someone who's going to treat teachers like professionals and support staff like professionals, give the 3% and stop attacking pensions and health care, pay better, and ensure that there is access to continuing education and more resources in the classroom, and wraparound services like nurses and social workers and counselors. These are five things that I've come up with off the top of my head, but I'd like to work with you so that you can tell me how we better empower and encourage people to go into the profession of teaching and educating our kids and as support staff.
Thank you. Our final question for you, how would you go about fixing Michigan's broken school funding system?
Yeah, so, you know, in 14 years in the legislature, I can tell you, a budget is not just simply a balance sheet. It's a statement of our values. And I'm proud of the record that I earned fighting to increase money for education, fighting to protect the school aid fund and stave off cuts and withdrawals. You know, I took on governors in both parties when they tried to take money out of the school aid fund to put it into the general fund. I even introduced a constitutional amendment to protect the school aid fund from withdrawals. I can tell you that as governor, we will infuse a lot more resources into the classroom, including resources for high-quality, well-paid teachers and support staff. Now, you know, I know we're running out of time, but I just want to tell you, I've been traveling our state, and I am pumped up. We've had some tough losses in the past, but right now we are primed for a real victory in 2018, where we start to set the agenda and we do it together. we're going to mobilize the state, and we're going to start a movement that means we're going to beat back the Republican attacks and make education a real priority in Michigan today. And I hope we can do that together. And I thank you so much.
Thank you, Senator Whitmer, for joining us this evening. We appreciate your time to share your thoughts with our MEA members. We now would like some feedback from you, members. Feedback from you on this call through a quick poll question you can answer by pushing a number on your phone. Please let us know how excited you are about Gretchen Whitmer as a candidate for governor on a scale of 1 to 5. 5 being extremely excited, and 1 being not at all excited. You can choose any number between 1 and 5 for your answer. Again, based on what you heard, please share your feedback about how excited you are about Senator Whitmer as a candidate by pressing a number on your phone, 5 being extremely excited, and 1 not excited at all. Go ahead. Our next candidate is on the line and ready to talk with us. Abdul El-Sayed was formerly the health director of Detroit, where he led Detroit's health department after the city's municipal bankruptcy. Dr. El-Sayed, thank you for joining us.
I want to just tell you quickly a story about an opportunity that that was built because of Michigan Public Schools and the teachers who make it what it is. My father, he immigrated here from Alexandria, Egypt back in the late 1970s. He literally knew that if he was going to walk a different path than the one that his father had walked, he would have to do it by the book. So he studied his way out. He had the opportunity to choose between two places, Bayreuth, Germany, and Detroit, Michigan. And he had the opportunity to pursue a doctoral fellowship at Wayne State University, one of our great public universities in Michigan, and he took that opportunity. And he decided to come to Detroit in part because Detroit was in the United States of America, a place where he knew that it didn't matter the color of his skin, the native tongue that he brought with him, the way that he prayed, that he, as a Muhammad, could be just as American as a Steve or a Mike. And he decided to come here. And part of the reason he decided to come here was because he knew he could build the kind of life for himself and his kids that he never could have dreamed of in Egypt. And part of that was access to the kind of public schools that I got to attend. I am a proud graduate of public schools my whole life, and I even went to public university at the University of Michigan. Today, however, in our state, public education is under attack, and Snyder is attacking the very institutions that were so critical to allowing me to have the kind of life that my dad dreamed of. I'll tell you, a good friend of mine who I played high school football with, he is a principal at Pershing High School, and he tells me about the challenges that teachers face. First, we're not investing enough in our schools as it stands, and so we're seeing that the quality of possibilities for our students are starting to be cut, whether that means education in the arts, whether that means education in the sciences. We just don't have enough to be able to provide children with what they need. Also know that too many of our kids don't have access to the kinds of wraparound services that they need, so teachers are being asked not just to educate in the front of classrooms, but also to be social workers and to be doctors. And we have to be able to invest in them so that they're in their best position to learn. We also know that our school infrastructure is literally falling apart. And I know that because I, as health commissioner in Detroit, personally inspected Detroit schools. I saw things like mice dead in the corner. I saw things like kids wearing their coats until 11 a.m. because the boilers didn't work in their buildings. I saw things like floors literally buckling because of the mold that was growing under them. And I know that, unfortunately, teachers are teaching in overcrowded classrooms. And they're not being paid as much for more work. They have to prepare for things like standardized exams, which mean that more of their time is spent just in exam taking rather than teaching. And we're disrespecting teachers by assuming that they are not actually experts in what they teach, and rather telling them what to teach from places like Lansing and D.C. But I know this. I was an educator. My first job out of grad school was as a professor, and both of my parents are educators as well. And I'm about to be the father of an unborn child. My wife is 8 months pregnant. And I look at the kind of world that I want to leave for my daughter. And I know that that includes access to a high quality public education, the kind that I got, that my dad invested in when he came here, believing in a set of ideals that were way bigger than any of the identities in this country. So this is a moment right now where we can work together to build the kind of Michigan that we are proud of, which is a place where our children have the best access to a public education that they deserve.
Thanks for that information. Moving on, in Michigan and across the country, we're experiencing a shortage of qualified educators to work with students. What do you believe is driving that, and what do you think we need to do to fix that?
Yeah, so right now, the bargain that used to exist for people to give their lives to be able to educate our next generation, we've gone back in that bargain in this state. Michigan teachers have taken the fifth largest pay cut in the country. We've divested from public schools. We have mistreated our teachers by going back on pension agreements and forcing them to take deals that are not consistent with the highest ideals of what we would want to be able to protect for our teachers after serving our state by teaching our kids. We know that right now there's been a concerted attack on unions of all kinds, in particular teachers' unions. We know that teacher evaluations and standardized testing aren't entirely fair. We know that we've largely created a means by which, in this state, for-profit education programs can come in and start nipping at public education. That means that more dollars that we have been intended to spend on teaching our students are being now invested in things like advertising and going into the pocketbooks of for-profit operators. All of these things have made teaching less than enticing. I think about my friend Anthony, who I was telling you about, and when he decided to dedicate his career to education, I think he was taking a bet on a system that would pay him back in some real ways, both in the enjoyment of being able to teach our kids, but then also in knowing that he was going to have a comfortable middle-class life. And unfortunately, that's not guaranteed anymore. So when our young people graduate, and I'm not that far away from that, but our young people graduate, they're making decisions about what they want to do, and they realize that the work that they're going to be putting in to educating our kids is not being dignified in the way that it should. There are a couple ways that we need to fix that. First, we have to reinvest in our educators and keep them around for the long haul. That means $75 million to increase teacher salaries, $75 million for incentives tied to teacher seniority and teacher leadership that keep people engaged in the system and empower them as they move through and keep them there educating our kids where I can think of no higher aspiration for a society. We have to think about local tax incentives to hire great educators in high-need areas and make sure that they're rewarded for going to places that may not deliver the same kinds of goods and services and lifestyle as other places where it's easier to recruit. How do you pay for that? Well, I think legalizing and taxing the sale of marijuana, that would yield our state about $125 million in tax revenue. 50% of that revenue I would like to earmark for school aid. It means reappropriating funds from the Every Student Succeeds Act and making sure that that's being invested in the most important asset in the classroom, which is a teacher. And then I think there's opportunities for cost savings from cutting the full foundation cyber school allowance to about 75%. All of this, though, has to redignify education. I'll tell you, when I was an educator, I had the opportunity to write my own textbook for my class in epidemiology. And I know right now that the work that people do as professionals in the classroom, that has to be dignified again. And we have to allow them to dictate how it is that they're going to perform their craft, recognize that they are meaningful professionals and that they deserve the right to dictate how their classes run. And that if they do, we know that great teachers don't just present information, they inspire people to learn it. And I know that teachers across Michigan are the same.
Thank you. And our final question for you, how would you go about fixing Michigan's broken school funding system?
Yeah, look, we have a proposal A regime right now that was intended to remedy a systematic set of inequities over time, but it didn't really solve the problem. I think we need to address weaknesses in Prop A by doing a couple of things. First, I think we need to eliminate the minimum foundation allowance, and we need to make sure that we fund all schools the basic foundation amount. I also think we need to retool Proposal A, the funding formula, to increase funding for at-risk students and special education students. And then we need to make sure that we're creating a system that would allow us to invest in school infrastructure, which is consistently a deep challenge in both our urban and our rural areas. Just to give you a couple statistics, right? So if you consider the minimum foundation grant in 2016, it was $718 lower than the state's basic foundation grant. That's a minimum foundation, right? If we were able to make school districts whole, that goes a long way in being able to reinvest in education. And when we think about the key solutions here, right, eliminating this gap, we have to recognize that that all the school districts that benefit most tend to be the school districts that have the highest ability to be able to tax at millage rates that are higher than the average. So the spread here is 600 in the highest income communities and 100 in the lowest income communities. So even if you're just looking at local tax dollars, you're talking about a 6-to-1 spread from richest to poorest areas in Michigan, and we need to be able to correct that. Being able to fund funding for at-risk students, I think, helps us to invest in classroom space where you potentially could raise the current supplement from 11.5% to 30%, and it allows us to take the burden of care for our highest need students off of teachers who are then tasked of to teach all of the rest of our students. And then I think there's an opportunity for us to think outside the box about funding and investing in infrastructure. And we're proposing a school facilities bank. And what that would do is allow us to take what schools have and don't need to invest in what they don't have and do need, which means that we take schools that are currently decommissioned and not used. We would buy them as a state from the local school districts. We would invest that capital into the schools that are currently being used to be able to keep them up and invest in their infrastructure. And then we would share the value from reinvestment of those purchases for redevelopment. I think those are all opportunities for us to think outside the box to solve a set of problems that right now are really, really dogging, particularly our schools in rural and communities and in urban communities in places like Detroit and Flint. I think if we're able to do that, we have the opportunity to really think about a much more equitable, much more socially mobile investment in public education in Michigan.
Thank you, Dr. El-Sayed, for joining us this evening. We appreciate your taking the time to share your thoughts with our MEA members.
It's my privilege. Thank you for having me.
It's time for another quick poll question for you to answer using your phone. Please let us know how excited you are about Abdul El-Sayed as a candidate for governor on a scale from 1 to 5, 5 being extremely excited, 1 being not excited at all. You can choose any number between 1 and 5 for your answer. Again, based on what you heard here, please share your feedback about how excited you are about Dr. El-Sayed as a candidate by pressing a number on your phone, 5 being extremely excited, and 1 being not excited at all. Go ahead. It's time for our next candidate. Sri Tanadar is a scientist and entrepreneur from Ann Arbor, who is also an author about his experiences as an American immigrant from India. Mr. Tanadar, thank you for joining us.
Hello, this is
Hello. Thank you. First of
Hi,
all,
this is
tell us a little bit about yourself and why you think you're right for the candidate of Michigan Public Schools and students.
Well, my name is Shri Tanadar, and I'm running Democrat for governor of Michigan. I want to go education. And I'm hearing an echo.
If you have a landline available, Mr. Tanadar, you might want to try it. We think your cell phone signal might be cutting in and out. Or just dial in again, and we'll get you reconnected momentarily.
Hello?
We apologize. We'll be right back, and we're going to get Mr. Tanadar reconnected.
So again, thank you for joining us tonight. We want to make sure that you have the opportunity to hear from each of the candidates. We've invited all declared and potential candidates for governor for the 2 major parties to participate. Next fall's election is a pivotal one for public education in our state. MEA is committed to helping elevate the voices of school employees about what is needed to ensure a quality education for every student. We are also committed to ensuring members hear from the candidates about what they'll do to help achieve the goal for our state, especially before MEA makes any decisions about candidates to support in this next election. We have invited all declared and potential candidates for governor from two major parties. We've already heard from Gretchen Whitmer and Abdul El-Zayed. Sri Tandahar is our next candidate. Hopefully we'll get him back on the line. Andy Levin and Kentel White. And one Republican candidate, Evan Space. They will speak in that order. We did not hear back from any other candidates in response to this invitation. And again, the entire field of candidates has also been invited to speak at MEA's Fall Representative Assembly in Lansing on Saturday, October 14th. Each candidate tonight will be on the call for 10 minutes answering the same three questions. Each candidate has a chance to speak. We will ask a quick poll afterwards, a question live, so that you can provide feedback. And there will be an opportunity to leave a voicemail. This is key. At the end of the call with any other questions and comments you may have. We hope that you learn more about the candidates' positions on public education over the course of the next hour, and we hope you share this information with your colleagues. MEA will have a recording of this conversation. It will be available online next week for those who could not attend this evening, so spread the word. Again, this is Paula Herbart, and I am proud to serve you as the MEA Education Association President. Tonight, we are hosting a live tele-town hall so that MEA members can hear directly from the declared and prospective candidates for governor about their positions on education issues. Currently, we are having some technical difficulties getting Mr. Tandahar connected with the tele-town hall. So, as we are committed to ensuring members hear from each of the candidates, we want to make certain that your voices are heard. Next fall's election is a pivotal one for public education, and we are committed to helping elevate the voices of school employees.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
About what is needed to ensure quality education for all students. Here we are. Mr. Tandahar, thank you and welcome. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I am on.
And why you think you're the right candidate for Michigan's public schools and students.
I'm on the question queue.
Hello.
Sorry, Mr. Tandahar, we got you back. So you're live on the call now.
Please tell us a little bit about yourself, Mr. Tandahar, and thank you for joining us.
Yes, my name is Sri Tandahar. And I want to be the pro-education governor Michigan ever had. I immigrated to United States in 1979 and became a U.S. citizen in 1988. When I was in India, I grew in poverty, and education was the ladder for me to pull myself and my family out of poverty. I got a bachelor's degree, master's degree, and a PhD in chemistry. I am a teacher. I taught undergraduates for 3 years while I earned my PhD degree. Later on, I went on to grow a three-person company into a 450-people chemical testing, chemical analysis business, and created jobs in America. I have gone through death of a spouse and raising two children as a single father. I have also dealt with recession, which wiped out my business. I'm very resilient, and I grew my business back after the recession and recently sold my business and gave $1.5 million worth of bonuses to all of my employees.
Thanks for that information. Moving on, in Michigan and across the country, we are experiencing a shortage of qualified educators to work with students. What do you believe is driving that, and what do you think we need to do to fix it?
Well, when I ran my businesses, I hired hundreds of employees. I treated my employees well. I paid them well. I respected them. and I made sure they were empowered to do their jobs. And that's what is missing here. In Michigan, the teachers are not respected. I talked with Judy and Rachel, a couple teachers from Farmington, and they had tears in their eyes when they were telling me about the humiliation and the demoralization that they suffer, the way they are evaluated. Their pay structure hasn't changed for 10 years, and I have seen them buying supplies for school from their own pocket. And this is no way to treat our teachers. I grew up respecting and worshiping God, respecting parents, and respecting my teachers. And that's how my mother taught me. And I think we have forgotten to include our teachers in our decision making. We need to pay them well. We need to ensure their retirement benefits are intact. And we need to empower them, because our teachers know what's best for our children.
Thank you. Our next question is, how do you go about fixing Michigan's broken school funding system?
Well, there are a number of things we need to do. A lot comes to funding. We spend $41,000 on every prisoner, and we only spend about $8,000 on our students. More funding is absolutely necessary. We need to ensure, especially where there are more at-risk students, those are the schools that need more funding. Now, as the children have moved from our public education into the charter school, that has left the public schools with even less funding and almost the same cost, and we need to deal with that. I think the funding for schools need to happen based on the need basis, not on the revenue of the school district. We need to minimize the testing. We need to have one type of testing, not the multiple testing that today's teachers face. And we just need to make sure that we implement a universal pre-K program, and we ensure that for-profit charter schools are closed. That's what I'll do as a governor. And I'll hold the charter school accountable in the same manner as we are holding the public schools.
Thank you so much. We apologize for the technical difficulties at the beginning of this call. Is there anything else that you would like to add, sir?
Yes, absolutely. You know, teachers' voice matters. Teachers know what is best for our children. And when I am in Lansing as your governor, I will ensure that the teachers, the educators, the parents, communities are at the table when we make important decisions about our education and our public school system. Teachers need to be, and educators need to be, a partner in for us to fix our education, not someone to be blamed for. And I will make sure all stakeholders are at the table. I will make sure that we make teaching a respectable profession again. I will make sure that teachers impact so much on our children's future, and we must provide them the necessary funding, the supplies. We need to provide them the professional development and licensing. We need to take care of our children we need to take care of our teachers so they can take care of our children.
Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
You're welcome. This was a pleasure.
Now that we've heard from another candidate, it's time for another poll question. Please let us know how excited you are about Sri Tandahar and as a candidate of governor. On a scale from 1 to 5, 5 being extremely excited and 1 being not excited at all. Again, based on what you've heard, please share your feedback about how excited you are about Mr. Tanadar as a candidate by pressing any number between 1 and 5 on your phone now. Next up is a potential candidate for governor, Andy Levin. Andy is a clean energy entrepreneur, served as deputy director and acting director of the Michigan Department of Energy, Labor, and Economic Growth from 2007 to early 2011. Mr. Levin, thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Hello. First of all, please tell us a little bit about yourself and why you think you're right for a candidate for Michigan Public Schools and students.
Okay, well, thanks so much for having me. This is Andy Levin, and I am myself a product of the public schools. My wife is a product of the public schools. She is a teacher and was a NEA building rep at the Edward Devotion School in Brookline, Massachusetts. And all of our four kids have been products of public education in Michigan. I have a bachelor's degree from Williams College, a master's from the grad school at University of Michigan in Asian Languages and Cultures, and a law degree from Harvard. And I've been a champion of workers' rights for 30 years. I was the staff attorney of President Clinton's Commission on Labor Management, on labor law reform, essentially. And for 11 years, I was the assistant director of organizing at the National AFL-CIO. However, more recently, I've been working on education-related issues here in Michigan. I was the deputy director and then the acting director of the Michigan Department of Energy, Labor, and Economic Growth in the Granholm Administration. I created and ran the No Worker Left Behind program that put 160,000 un- and underemployed Michigan workers back to school at community colleges and other programs to study for certificates and degrees leading to in-demand jobs. And I was also in charge of all the state's work on career and technical education, adult ESL, and other programs helping people with disabilities and so forth to get education. Fundamentally, I'm a huge backer of universal, excellent public education for every child in our state and for driving resources into the classroom and power back into the schools so our teachers can do their job of educating our kids. And I think education is the key to our future, from universal pre-K up to affordable college for everybody.
Thanks. Thanks for that information. Moving on, in Michigan and across the country, we are experiencing a shortage of qualified educators to work with students. What do you believe is driving that? And what do we need to do to fix it?
Well, that's a really great question. I mean, the shortage of qualified educators to teach our kids here and around the country really can't be separated from the purposeful dismantling of support for public education advanced by Republican lawmakers in recent years. Teachers have lacked adequate resources. They've been pressed by growing demands without support to do their jobs. We've seen precious public education resources steered to poor quality for-profits. Teachers have been attacked. And I just think that here as well as around the country, educators are feeling abused and demoralized, and too many are leaving the profession. And I can't blame them because of these attacks. And when you think about young people looking at what they're going to do with their lives, who wants to be the victim of these kind of demoralizing removing of resources and so forth. So the first priority is, for me, is to reverse the disinvestment and the privatization of our public schools so our educators can get the support they deserve. Then we have to make fundamental changes to enhance the support and dignity and career prospects in the teaching profession. We've got to make sure our teacher preparation institutions are providing really high quality preparation for teachers in and out of the classroom. We've got to create stronger incentives for our educators in high demand disciplines like special ed and career technical education and other fields. We need to expand support for educators during the early years of their career, building out mentoring and support programs. And the MEA has supermodel programs to support early teachers that need much more support. And we also have to expand career pathways opportunities and professional development opportunities to support educators that, so they can continue to learn and improve their craft and mentor other teachers and find ongoing career satisfaction and reward opportunities. For example, my own sister-in-law, who's a special ed teacher in PG County in Maryland and a proud member of the NEA, just got national board certification as a master teacher, and she was so proud, and it was such a great milestone in her career. So I think there's so much we could do to restore respect and enhance the teaching profession. It really ought to be, you know, to me, it's a profession like a doctor, lawyer, and an accountant. It ought to have that same level of respect and remuneration in our society.
Thank you. Our final question for you, Mr. Levin. How would you go about fixing Michigan's broken school funding system?
Well, that is the big question, and we urgently need to tackle it. Michigan schools and educators have been demoralized by years of disinvestment, raiding the school aid fund for other purposes. That's got to stop. And the purposeful proliferation by Betsy DeVos and her allies in Lansing of non-union for-profit charter schools and cyber schools that don't educate our kids and rob money from quality public schools. I just get so steamed as the father of four kids. And just remembering my own life of this idea that any significant numbers of our kids in elementary school and on should be in these online learning situations instead of getting socialized and learning to be citizens and getting along with each other across all the diversity that we bring together when we go to school. So we really need to rebuild Michigan's commitment to quality public schools for all students. And overhauling our school funding model means we have to, first of all, do what top-performing states have done and identify a baseline cost for quality education. There's been a lot of studies on this. It's estimated to be $8,000 per child in Michigan, so we have to provide the adequate resources. And we have to not just provide the same dollar amount for all students, irrespective of their learning needs or the cost of their education. So high-performing states are spending more money where the effects of poverty or are evident, or where there are special education challenges, where there are a lot of non-native English speakers and learners. And where if we're demanding higher standards for learners and educators, we have to couple that with the resources to deliver on those expectations. High-performing states are spending money for learning programs in schools that cost more, like full-service schools versus online. We've got to put our money where our mouth is. High school versus elementary, it costs more. We have to provide the money. Early and middle colleges and career technical programs that deliver a high school diploma and a post-secondary certificate and degree need to be resourced for the level of outcomes that we're seeking from them. And finally, high-performing states do not support the proliferation willy-nilly of so-called choices through charters and virtual schools without quality control. Rather, we need to create choices not as an end in themselves, but as part of a purposeful strategy to improve learning and outcomes. Michigan's done just the opposite in recent years under the banner of like creating a marketplace for education. Well, that has wreaked havoc on the finances of our education system and destroyed learning outcomes for our schools. So we really need to take a different approach to financing. And let me just add one more part of it is fixing holes in Proposal A. We've got to allow local districts to raise more money for education and provide state support for the school building, for technology and infrastructure needs in school communities with low tax bases that have no way of raising capital for themselves. So I'm going to, when I, as governor, I would work with the legislature to really have a fundamentally different approach to funding education so that we can get back to what was great about this state when I was a kid, which was every child could have a great public education opportunity in their neighborhood or in their school district. And that's what we need to do with teachers leading the way.
Well, thank you, Mr. Levin, for joining us this evening. We appreciate your taking the time to share your thoughts with MEA members.
All right. Have a great evening. Take care.
Time for another poll. Please let us know how excited you are about Andy Levin as a potential candidate for governor. On a scale from 1 to 5, 5 being extremely excited and 1 being not excited at all. Again, based on what you've heard, please share your feedback about how excited you are about Andy Levin as a candidate by pressing any number between 1 and 5 on your phone now. Hello? Next up, we have Kentel White, who works in healthcare field in Detroit. He is a former community service officer for the Detroit Police Department. Mr. White, thank you for joining us.
Good evening to everybody. How are you?
Good. First of all, please tell us a little bit about yourself and why you think you're the right candidate for Michigan Public Schools and students.
Well, I'm 39 years old, and I live in Southgate. I'm currently living in Southgate, but I grew up in the city of Detroit. I graduated from DPS, Detroit Public School System. I went on from Detroit Public School System to WC3, where I earned 2 associates, one in criminal justice, one in applied science, associates in science. Then from there, I took a break. I went on to University of Kansas in 2004. And began working on the bachelor's in criminal justice administration. From there, 2011, I went back and got a master's of science in administration and justice and security. And I'm currently working on a second master's in adult education and training. The reason that I'm running for governor is to be a voice, is to be an advocate for Michigan residents. I've been living in the state since I was born, back in 1978, and it's time to rebuild our state. My campaign is focused on Road to Rebirth, rebirthing a state that can grow and prosper. Everything that we do is for the people of Michigan, not for millionaires, not for just to say I did something. It's for the people of Michigan. We have families that are living in shelters. We have families that are struggling to take care of their families. We have a broken system that needs to be fixed. Education is one of my passions. One thing that I learned from Nelson Mandela, that education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. I use that quotation to build my background and my educational background. Yes, I work in the healthcare field. I work for 3 EMS companies, 1 juvenile delinquent center, and I work for another. I was a domestic care worker. So I have passion for education. And I can be the governor that not only I'm going to be visible, where people can see and talk to their governor and be an open door accessible for all Michigan residents. Because I care. Yes, we can. Yes, we will. And yes, I will be there for my residents. Michigan needs a governor that who cares and show compassion for the people. I'm going to use the Michigan core values to restore our system of justice, from education to infrastructure to prosperity, out of insurance rates, neighborhoods, equality for all Michigan residents. You finally can have a voice for the people. And that's
Thanks
what
for
I'm
that information.
On.
Thank you. Moving on, in Michigan and across the country, we're experiencing a shortage of qualified teachers to work with students. What do you believe is driving that, and what do we need to do to fix it?
Well, the thing, the teachers are our voice. We need to hear from our teachers. We need to hear from what is going on inside our schools. We are dealing with teachers that are not getting paid enough. We're dealing with they can't even take care of their own families. We're dealing with dissatisfied working conditions, class sizes, classroom resources, low pay for the teachers. Teachers used to care, and they still. Some teachers out here do care about their students. I had that same problem when I was in high school. I had a teacher that showed more compassion than teaching because he cared about his students. That's what we need back into our school system. It's not about wages. It's about the caring and the love that all teachers have for their students because they want them to do better when they leave high school and go off into college. So I'm ready to rebuild our state through education.
Well, thank you. Our final question for you. How would you go about fixing Michigan's broken school funding system?
Providing more funding for our inter-schools. Focus on early childhood development, making sure students are performing at a better grade level, reading small classes, implementing programs that gear to strengthen reading, math, science, college, career, and preparing them for high school and college life. Get more teachers and more students and more parents involved. I'm going to use college professors to come in and be monitors to help our students at the third grade level all the way up to the eighth grade level. When the students enter ninth grade, we're going to have them to be prepared to do college material work. So when they are done with college, high school, they'd be ready for college life. That's my plan to rebirth a state that can grow. And that's why I'm on the road to success through Michigan and rebirthing the state that will be able to help every student and every family member out here, every resident. Michigan is on a road to come back.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. White, for joining us this evening. We appreciate your taking the time to share your thoughts with our MEA members.
Oh, thank you. Have a good evening.
Time for another poll. Please tell us how excited you are about Kentel White as a candidate for governor on a scale from 1 to 5, 5 being extremely excited and 1 being not excited at all. Again, based on what you heard, please share your feedback about how excited you are about Mr. White as a candidate by pressing any number between 1 and 5 on your phone now. Please go ahead. Hi, this is Paula Herbert again, your president of the MEA, and tonight we are hosting the live Teletown Hall for MEA members who can hear directly from the declared and prospective candidates for governor. We are currently waiting for our final candidate to join us on the line. As you know, next fall's election is a pivotal one for public education in our state. MEA is committed to helping elevate the voices of school employees about what is needed to ensure a quality education for every student. And we're also committed to ensuring members hear from the candidates about what they'll do to help achieve that goal in our state, especially before MEA makes any decisions about candidates to support in next year's election. On tonight's call, we've already heard from some of the candidates, Gretchen Whitmer, Abdul El-Zayed, Sri Tanadar, Andy Levin, and Kentel White. We are currently waiting for one Republican candidate, Evan Space. We did not hear back from any other candidates, you should know that, in response to the invitation. And again, the entire field of candidates has also been invited to speak at the MEA's Fall Representative Assembly in Lansing on Saturday, October 14th. Each candidate will all be on the call for the 10 minutes, asking the same three questions, two of which were selected by the survey of MEA members over the past week. Again, you've each had a chance to take a quick poll after you've heard those candidates. Please remember that there will be time for more questions and comments, leaving a voicemail at the end of the call. We hope you learn more about candidate positions on public education over the course of the next few minutes, and we hope that you share this information with your colleagues, reminding them that a recording of this conversation will be available online next week for those who cannot attend this evening. Hello. Our final candidate this evening is Evan Spaeth, a Republican candidate from Grand Rapids. He has been a small business entrepreneur for over 28 years and a veteran of the Michigan Army National Guard, including a deployment in Afghanistan. Mr. Spaeth, thank you so much for joining us.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
First off, please tell us a little bit about yourself and why you think you're the right candidate for Michigan Public Schools and students.
Well, first of all, I am a Republican, and I'm just I'm along the lines of more of a moderate business conservative that actually looks at both sides of the aisle. And I believe that education is one of my top policies that I need to follow, and I do believe that by putting forth education as the number one priority, we'll be able to actually move our kids forward and be able to progress as a state and help improve our economy.
Thanks for that information. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're quite welcome.
Thanks for that information. And moving on, in Michigan and across the country, we're experiencing a shortage of qualified educators to work with students. What do you believe is driving that, and what do we need to do to fix that?
Okay. Well, number one thing that I believe is that the pride in the teachers is not being showed enough. We need to be able to support our teachers by giving them the necessary benefits and the necessary motivation for them to be able to come along like that. We believe that there are some things that we're finding that the areas around the districts for some schools are lacking the proper funding and are not being able to get the teachers that they need for them to be able to step into that situation. So by finding them a common ground of retirement incentives to teachers and not taking away their pensions, we're able to find a nice package that we can be able to improve our teachers' needs for us to be able to come to the school system. People that are going to school right now actually believe that they want to go seeking a degree out there, but if we can be able to give them a loan forgiveness program, if they decide to take up the profession of being a teacher, we would more than amply be able to get more people involved in wanting to be able to teach our kids.
Well, thank you. Lastly, how would you go about fixing Michigan's broken school funding system?
Okay. Well, one thing is I know that we have the Michigan Lottery revenue that we have here in the state of Michigan that goes towards each student. It's roughly around $500 per student each year. And that is a bit of an amount, but I still think that we're needing to improve that amount and bring it up a little bit higher up. Now, in order for us to be able to do that, I believe that when we be able to have in our state, when marijuana actually becomes legal, we can utilize a portion of the taxes that we are being able to take off of such a different policy change to our state and use that towards the education system so we can be able to boost the amount of money that we are giving to our students and be able to increase the amount of availability that our students have with the teachers. I believe that our teachers also need to be able to have more kids that are in need by having paraprofessional support the teachers so they can keep the attention of all the students, and thereby increasing the better education system. Kids right now are lacking the amount of needs and nutrition for exercise and food for while they go to school. And the breakfast programs for kids to be able to go to school and study on a full stomach is a lot more beneficial to them than to be able to go to school and be able to think about when their next meal is going to come. So creating that will also help us with our school system. And I believe that even during the daycare system that we have for our schools, for the parents that are working, right now needs to be looked at and be able to be restructured. I believe that we need to be able to pair that something along the lines of like a parental co-op and be able to create more of a friendly environment where parents that are working be able to help the parents that are not working, but be able to bring their kids into such a situation to them.
Well, thank you, Mr. Spates, for joining us this evening. We appreciate your taking the time to share your thoughts with our MEA members.
Absolutely. I agree. I appreciate that.
Have a good night.
Hey, you.
Time for our final poll question of the night. Please let us know how excited you are about Evan Spates as a candidate for governor on a scale from 1 to 5, 5 being extremely excited and 1 not at all excited. Again, based on what you heard, please share your feedback about how excited you are about Mr. Spates as a candidate by pressing any number between 1 and 5 on your phone now. As we wrap up, I want to thank our 6 candidates who joined us this evening. It was great to hear directly from them and about their views on public education for our state. And thank you all for participating in our evening's event. We had 5,500 members join us this evening on the call. We appreciate you taking the time out to learn about the candidates. Please share what you've learned tonight with your colleagues and let them know they can listen to a recording starting next week on our website at mea.org. If you have any particular questions or comments, either for the candidates or for MEA, please stay on the line and you will get the chance to leave a voicemail. Thanks again for being on the call. Have a great evening.